going to stay home. You know, a servant says, Lord, I'm ready to serve. Lord, oh, give me strength because I'm going to give my best to you. That's the heart that God wants from us, because the issue is not whether we will serve, but it is when and where we will serve. And we go with a heart vibrant. Say, Lord, let me at him. Oh, that person is lost? That person needs you? Okay. Tell me, Lord, what I need to say. Lord, show me who I need to talk to. Get them back on track. And that's what we do. We have that servant's heart. We always want to give him our very best. You know, I got to tell you, I recently met with a relative I haven't seen in a long time. We met at a wedding party. And I asked her, are you still attending the same church? I remember seeing her last time, like 3-4 years ago, and she told me what church she was going. And she said, yeah, I'm going to the same church, but I'm really upset at the pastor. I go, why? What happened? And she said, well, here's the thing. A couple of the church leaders in the church went on vacation, and the pastor asked me to take over some of the responsibilities. I go, okay, isn't that good? And he go, you don't understand. I'm working so hard. She knows. He knows that I have a job. I have kids to take care of. Now I'm so busy with all these responsibilities. I'm upset. The nerve of him asking me to do all these things. And I think she was expecting sympathy from me. I said, oh, poor thing. But I didn't say that. It's just like the Holy Spirit just directed the words to come out of my mouth. And you know what I said to her? I got to tell you, I don't think you should serve. She looked at me, what? And I said, well, if you can't do it with a joyful heart, maybe you shouldn't be doing it at all. Because aren't you doing it for God? And I said, why are you doing all these things? Said, because a pastor asked me. I can't say no to my pastor. I said, so you're doing it for man then, aren't you? I said, what? And I said, well, the scripture says we're doing it for God. And if you have a heart to serve God, remember, whatever you do unto the Lord is for him. It's not for the pastor. It's not for the elders or leaders of the church. It's for him. And this is the thing I want all the team members that come on Saturday to remember this. You're not doing it for man. You're doing it for him, first and foremost. So realizing you're reporting to the Lord God and King, it should get you excited. Knowing that you get to serve our Lord God and King. That's the kind of excitement you bring, knowing you get to serve God. This is what it says in Luke 17. I'm going to read it to you first, and then we're going to take a look at each verse and try to see what the Holy Spirit will show to us. I'm going to read it to you, because Luke 17 reveals the superiority of serving over volunteering. This is what it says. Luke 17, 7 through 10. It says here, when a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? No, he says, prepare my meal, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? What does it say there? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. And from this, we find four standards of servanthood. Or number one here, it says, a servant's work is not always sensational. A servant's work is not always sensational. And you know what? Here's the thing. Sometimes we may recruit a person to a ministry by telling them, hey, you come join our ministry. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Oh, you're going to have the time of your life. You know who I think of? Tom Sawyer. Remember? He was given the job of painting the fence. And he didn't want to do it, right? So what did he do? He gathered all the kids in the neighborhood. Oh, this is the best thing you could ever do. Look at that. Ooh, look at that paint go on that fence. Man, it's exciting. And guess what? All of a sudden, all these other kids take a brush and they end up painting the whole fence. And Tom Sawyer just goes, oh, yeah, I get paid for them working. And that's the thing, right? Sometimes we may tell people that because, hey, we want them to be involved. But the question is, will they do it with their heart then? Because you know what? That's the thing. They were deceived. But the thing is, we do not tell people, oh, it's so fun, exciting. But in your mind, you're telling, okay, now let's work for me. That is not what God would want you to do. Because you know the truth of the matter is, sometimes serving can be strenuous. Sometimes It's not always thrilling. But because you're doing it for God, you know, you should have a heart of excitement, but sometimes you're going to be tired. You know, whatever it is that the Lord wants you to do, sometimes it will be hard. But you know what? You're doing it unto Him. So it's about your attitude. Look what it says in Luke 17, 7. It says, when a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of the sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? I wanted you to know a true servant filled with humility and gratitude does not expect anything from his master. He does what is required because of his love for his master. I gotta tell you, you know in Hollywood, right, they love to post lists of stars, right? And you have the top 10 most beautiful, the top 10 most ripped physiques, the top 10 box office hits, etc., 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 right? And you know, there's one list that focuses on a star's fame and their bad attitude. You know what that list is? The list of the top 10 divas. You know, when you think about it, names like Mariah Carey, Jennifer Lopez, Celine Dion, they have frequented this list. Not because of how brightly they shine, but because how loudly they complain. They want more roses, they want less lighting in their dressing room, they want bigger bathtubs, they want expensive bottled water. And they say, if I don't have these things, I'm not coming back. And on the demands go, right? And you know, they have a way of, you know, showing that attitude. They snap their fingers. One now. Don't give it to me now. I'm not talking to you. That's a diva, isn't it? And here's the thing. Think about this. Sometimes, can we be Christian diva servants? Well, first of all, I want to tell you, the word diva and servant shouldn't be in the same sentence. Because a diva knows it's all about who? Themselves. A servant will say it's all about them, it's all about everyone else. It's not about me. Because, you know, I heard this before. I've been to many churches, right, where people, I heard them say, well, I'll help clean up the church grounds if someone will bring cold iced tea with lemons. Then I'll come. Otherwise, forget it. I'm not going to come. It's going to be a hot day. No drinks, no me. Really? Or, you know, someone will say, I'll only go to the midweek service if poo-poos are served. I got to have my poke. And don't forget the limu on it, too. And man, we become Christian divas. Really? And we got to say, Lord, help me to change this attitude. Because you know what? It becomes all about ourselves. Knowing that we serve God is all about Him. And when we can do that, that's where God's heart, oh, He's so pleased. Because, you know, also with the case of people saying, oh, there's no AC? Oh, I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to be uncomfortable. I don't want to go to a church without AC. And here's the thing. Hollywood has its diva stars who shine for all the wrong reasons. And you know what? Sometimes the church does also. And the Apostle Paul, he warns us against this. And this is what he says. Look in your notes. Philippians 2, 14 to 18. He says here, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless. Children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Remember, we shine as the light of Jesus in the world. Because if people know that you are a Christian, guaranteed, they're watching you. Co-workers at work, they're thinking, okay, I'm waiting for this Christian to say something that I can jump and pounce on him. Oh, we say something that we know that we shouldn't say. And all of a sudden, it's just like, I thought you was a Christian. How could you say that? You guys experienced that before? Mm, yeah. I did. And I tell you, they're looking for those times where they can say to you, hey, you're a hypocrite. And boy, when you hear that word hypocrite, you go, oh, no. And so we got to be careful. We got to shine as the light of Jesus that is in us. And we got to remember, we got to live lives that are true to God. And we are to be a star by shining the right reasons, for the right reasons. We shine for Jesus and avoid that diva trap. Because it's so easy to walk in that diva trap. Because we think, oh, I contribute to the church. Yeah, I give my time to the church. I should be treated like a superstar. No, God says you are to be treated like a servant. That's what makes you a star in God's eyes. When you are a servant unto the King. Listen to what the civil rights leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. says about being a servant. This is what he says, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He says, everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. Wow. This is what it says. In Mark 9:35, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. What I want you to understand with this verse is, when you say, I want to serve God, it says here, you got to have the heart to serve all. Because you can say, oh yeah, I want to serve God, I want to do whatever he wants me to do. But then you can say, you know what, I don't want to serve the people in the community. Well, you know what? If you say you want to serve God, it's all about serving others. Yes. You got to put your heart and say, Lord, I want to help those who are less fortunate, those who are needy. What can I do, Lord, to bring forth your light? That's what it's about. If you say you want to serve God, you got to have the heart to willing and the willingness to serve others. Because that's what God wants from us. He wants to put our heart on helping those who basically don't have a voice. Basically those who are hurting. We're lost. We are to go out there and show them the light of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. But number two here, he says, it's a true heart to serve that must be maintained. A true heart to serve must be maintained. And you know, the job description for a servant is very simple and very straightforward. It's really easy to grasp. And basically, it's this very one thing. Do everything the master commands. Do everything the master commands. And if you have that in your heart, you can say, Lord, whatever you ask, I'm doing it. Because look what it says in Luke 17:8. It says, no, he says, prepare my meal, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. Woo. And you got to understand, a true servant will make sure his master needs are taken care of first. You know what? He's not very concerned about his own needs. Because he knows it comes from him anyway. So he says, Lord, I'm going to give you my best at all times. Because a true servant will have a happy heart in serving God. And it will be seen in their attitude and on their faces as they give their very best to him. You know, I got to tell you about this German computer company. What happened was they had one female employee that refused to smile. And you know what? You know what the company did? They banned grumpiness. They said, we're going to do this in an effort to promote a more friendly atmosphere. And you know, the local newspaper wrote a story about them. And you know what? The new policy requires that the employees at Newswerk, that's the name of the company, it's in the German town of Leipzig, they required the employees to sign a contract requiring them to remain in a good mood all day at the office. And leave complaints and gripes about co-workers and work conditions at home. Say, so you sign this contract, you're bound to it. And if you don't put on a happy face, there's a door. Out you go. And you know what? The office manager, this is what he says. He says, that lady that didn't want to smile, she said she used to moan so much that the other employees complained about her complaining. I said, once it was part of the contract, however, our employees really started to think positively. And this is what the spokesperson said. And it's kind of funny. The way she said it, it says, you will be happy in the office. And you won't whine anymore at work. And you kind of think about that, you know? It's just like, wow. You got to ask yourself, really, are they really happier, you think? Or are they just smiling because they don't want to get fired? Interestingly, even scripture commands us to be joyful. Did you know that? But this is not to force a fake smile, because God doesn't want any phoniness in us, right? He wants to encourage us to experience the true joy that God offers to every soul that wants to draw near to Him. That joy never leaves us. That joy stays with us. It's up to us. Are we going to tap into it? And He gives us more as we say, Lord, I want to live for You. Because God is not a controlling boss, but He's a very source of joy that He wants us to partake of. He wants His joy to continually increase in us. And we always have to consider it a joy and a privilege to serve our Lord God and King. Because, you know, like when we go Saturdays, I know, I love it when people come up to me, you know, the people who live in the park, they tell me, say, Pastor, I got to tell you, your church is not like other churches. This is what they tell me. They said, you know, sometimes we go to other churches, they slop their spoon of food onto our dish. It's like they're really grumpy and they're really angry. I said, your church, we notice, it's like the brothers and sisters, they're so glad to be there. They're saying, oh, hi, how you doing? And you're always making that effort to get into our lives. They ask us, so how's your children? How's your wife? And they say, man, that is special. And that is from the heart. When we are to serve God, we got to put on not so much a happy face, we put on a happy heart. And you put on a happy heart, the happy face will come. You got to have a happy heart, because you want a true, genuine smile, it got to start here. Happy heart, happy face. And it's important, right, brother?
Yep.
That we got to put on a happy heart whenever we serve our God. This is what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Now look what it says. Always be what? Joyful. Never stop praying. So the key to being joyful is not stop praying. You got to keep going to God. Don't stop praying. It says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. You got to be thankful. Because once you stop being thankful, the joy, it kind of just starts to fade. And you know, you may be reading the scriptures, you may be getting in the word, you may be all excited about the word of God, but you forget to be thankful. Suddenly, it's like you find your faith kind of strained. You got to keep thanking God. Be content in all circumstances. And then your joy will be complete, as the scripture tells us. Amen? Well, I want you to check out this interesting ancient Chinese proverb. I want you to listen to this. It says, if you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. You want happiness for a day, go fishing. You want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. But if you want happiness for a lifetime, help somebody. And I got to tell you, isn't it true? When you can truly help someone, I got to tell you, there's a difference between how we help someone, let's say, when we... before we became a Christian, and then we help someone because we know that it's something that God wants us to do. There's a difference, because when you say, Lord, I want to help that person because I know You put it in my heart. Lord, I know that You called me to be that light for You. And as you do it, wow, you just feel like a glow in your whole being. You guys know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. You just know you're doing it for God. Whereas a person who doesn't know God, they're doing, okay, I just want to be a nice guy. And they do it, but it kind of just, you feel good about it for a second, but then it just kind of fades. But then when as you do it for God, you say, I'm doing it for You, Lord. Wow, it just continues on. Like it says here, it's for a lifetime. So I got something even better than these Chinese proverbs. Look what it says in scripture, Acts 20:35. It says, in all things I have shown you, that by working hard in this way, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, he says, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Yes.
So it says here, we must work hard in helping those who are weak, for those who are poor, who need to hear the word of God, who are lost, spiritually lost. And we got to extend the hand and say, let me pray for you. Let me help you. Because that's what truly pleases our Lord God. Look what it says in Proverbs 11:25. It says, whoever brings blessings will be enriched. And one who waters will himself be watered. Whoever brings blessing. If you bring blessing upon someone else's life, it says you will be enriched. Who are you going to be enriched by?
Jesus.
By God, right? And it says enriched. That means you're going to be made wealthy. Not just in monetary things and material things. No. It says, I'm going to enrich you in every area in your life. Because this is the very reason why God sent His Son Jesus, so that you may have the abundant life. And you will be enriched because you did it with the right heart. Your heart is in the right place. And that's what God looks at. And He says, and one who waters will himself be watered. And you can think, what does it mean to water someone? You're going to get a bucket of water and just pour it on the brother? No. The thing about this is, right? Think about it. What do you usually water?
Plants.
A plant, right? And what happens, let's say a plant is starting to die because you haven't watered it in like several days. All of a sudden you start pouring water on it. What happens to this plant?
Back to life.
Comes back to life. It starts to grow again. That's what we are to do. We're going to bring life to those who never experienced God, who never experienced the life of Jesus. And as we pour life, guess what? Life will come. And what does it say when we do that? He himself will be water. And who's going to water us? God will. And he's going to put more life in us so that we can give others life. I want you to see that. Can you see that? God will pour more life in us so that we can give more life to others. And what you got to do is be willing to always extend a hand. Extend a hand of help. Extend a heart that says, Lord, I want to help this person. I want to serve him. That's where you're going to experience God in your life. Really. It's when you start serving from the heart. Well, number three here, it says, serving is a sacrifice. Serving is a sacrifice. And this is what it says in Luke 17:9. And it says here, and does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? What does it say there? Of course not. Really? We don't need any thanks? But that's what the scripture says. The truth of it is, yeah, we don't really need that. We are not entitled to a word of thanks or appreciation. As a servant is determined to do his job, we got to take the focus off of ourselves, off of our feelings, and say, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I don't need to hear from people. Because guess what? You're doing it unto him. Right? And you know God is so pleased when you make those efforts to help others. You know, I got to tell you, you know in the movie, The Last Emperor, you guys watched that movie before? No, the young child, he's anointed as the last emperor of China. And I got to tell you, he lives a life of luxury. And you know how many servants this last emperor has? He has 1,000 servants at his command. Well, I think one servant is like enough. But there's 1,000 servants. Whatever he says to do, he's going to do it. Right? And, you know, his brother comes to him and asks him. He says, so brother, what happens when you do wrong? You know what he says? The little emperor. He says, when I do wrong, someone else is punished. And to demonstrate this, he gets an expensive vase, right? And he just throws it on the ground, and it smashes, and it breaks into hundreds of pieces. And you know what? Instantly, one of the servants is beaten. And you go, oh. But you know what? I have to tell you. You know, Christian author Philip Yancey, he writes, here's the thing. In Christianity, Jesus reversed that ancient pattern where it's the servant, right, that is punished. But you know what? It says, with Jesus Christ, when the servants made errors, the king was punished. Isn't that true? We were the ones that made the mistakes. We are the ones that let sin come into our lives. We choose to sin. But it says here, the king, Jesus Christ, was willing to take the punishment. Whoa. And the thing is, it says that grace is free only because the giver himself was willing to bear the cost. Jesus Christ was willing to bear the cost for us. So I said, don't punish my servants. Jesus said, punish me. I'm willing to die for them on the cross. I'm willing to take on the weight of the sins of the world because I love them. That's the heart of a true servant. He is our motto, isn't he? Of a true servant, of what a servant should be. You know, this is what it says in Matthew 20, 28. Look in your notes. It says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? To serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He didn't come to be served. He was called king, yet he said, you don't serve me, I come to serve you. Imagine our majestic king coming on this planet Earth saying, no, I come to serve you. Wow. Just think about that for a second. God himself came as King Almighty saying, no, don't serve me, I'm going to serve you. And you know what? With his willingness to sacrifice, he really showed how devoted he is to us. The question is, how devoted are we to him? Because let me tell you about a man named John Kenneth Galbraith, who is also known as one of America's best economists. In his autobiography, he talks about the devotion of his family housekeeper, Emily. I want you to listen to this. This is what he says. He says, it had been a very long, weary day. And I asked Emily to hold all telephone calls while I'll take a nap. And shortly thereafter, the phone rang. President Lyndon Johnson was calling from the White House. And he says, get me Ken Galbraith. This is Lyndon Johnson. And the housekeeper says, he's sleeping, Mr. President. He said not to disturb him. But the president says, well, wake him up. I want to talk to him. She says, no, Mr. President, I work for him, not you. When I called the president back, he says, he could scarcely control his pleasure. You know what the president says? Tell that woman I want her here in the White House. Devotion. Can you see that? Because here's the thing. Would you say to God, or would God say to you, say here, with God say to you, with your devotion, I want you in my kingdom doing kingdom work. Because that's what it's about. You have a servant's heart, you're devoted to him. You're going to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. And when people say to you, hey, I don't agree what you're doing in the church, serving people on Saturday and doing this, well, why are you doing that? Can you say, well, you know what? I work for God. Not you. Because I got to tell you, sometimes people come up to you, they come right up to my face. Why are you doing what you're doing like that? I'm not kidding you. And they go, don't you know you're making it worse for them? Yeah. Da, da, da. And I said, you know what? This is something God called me to do. God is not real. Da, da, da. And I was like, oh. And I just said, you know, I just said, brother, I just want to tell you, I do this with a heart to serve God. I said, I hope you understand, you know, and he would just go on, you know, but bottom line, I'm doing this for God. That's what keeps me going. The fact is, I know all the people who serve on Saturday. That's what keeps us going, isn't it?
Amen.
Because sometimes, you know, we get tired. We're human beings. So, you know, if you get into that attitude, oh, no, I got to serve again. You know, like what if Brother Carl would say, oh, I got to go drive the van again. Oh, man. That thing, sometimes the brake no work to do. But you don't see that brother complaining. But I see excitement. The brother, I see him. Oh, I just love it when I see the brother with a broom. He's sweeping everything. Oh, man. Oh, that's a servant. My heart is, oh, that's a servant, man. I don't know when we ever sweep inside the van. But brother, he's got that broom and he's making sure. I gotta tell you, look inside that van. I've never seen such organization. It's amazing. This brother has a gift of organization, man. And I tell you, he does it with total heart.
Yes.
And I love that. That's passion, brother. Passion for him. I know you're not doing it for man, you're doing it for God.
Amen.
That's what gets that passion in you to say, Lord, I got this broom, man. I'm gonna passionately sweep this floor for you. And that's what it's all about. Because, hey, you know what? Guess who's watching all of this? God is. God is saying, wow, That's a true servant child of mine. Amen?
Amen.
Well, number four here, it says, serving should be more than just satisfying. Look what it says in Luke 17:10. It says here, in the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. Can you say that? We are simply unworthy servants. And, you know, don't put in that diva attitude, right? Say, no, we're unworthy. We don't really need anything. We don't need to hear anything. Think of it this way. The Lord of glory has chosen you to be of service in his kingdom. In that sense, really, serving should be more than just satisfying, because it's an honor. It's a privilege to serve our Lord God and King. Because when we have come to that point of wholehearted devotion to God, we'll become the kind of servant that God wants us to be. I want you to look at what it says in Psalm 123:2. We'll discover what that is like. Look what it says here. Psalm 123:2. It says here, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. And here's the thing. When the master moves his finger, the servant falls in line. And when the master says, jump, their servant says, how high? He doesn't question the master, right? He says, how high? What do you want me to do? And, you know, Lauren Sani, he's the founder of Navigators. This is what he said. He says, you know you're a servant by how you act when you're treated like one. Think about this. I'll say it again. You know you're a servant by how you act when you're treated like one. When you're treated like a servant, do you go, oh, who do you think you are? Or do you say, you know what? I love to help you. Think about that. Because when you're treated like a servant, do you get offended? When someone forgets to say thank you, do you lose it and say, oh man, the nerve! Don't you realize what I gave up to come and help you? And we're looking for the thank yous. We're looking for gratitude. I gotta tell you, if that's all you're looking for, that's all you're gonna get. But if you say, Lord, I come to serve you with a joyness, with a gladness of heart, oh, you're gonna get your reward. God says, I will reward you because you have the right heart. And we should all really work on saying, you know what? I was treated better than I should have been because I am an unworthy servant. Ooh, that's humility for you, isn't it? Because that's the heart of Jesus Christ. He says, you know, I am a servant unto you. I come to serve you. I've not come to be served. And here's the thing. If you look back in the year 2012, many athletes, you know, they have been very vocal about their faith in Christ, right? And they truly come out as servants of God, have no shame in sharing the gospel message of Christ. And here's what a few of them have to say. I know you know these names. Tim Tebow. He's a Heisman Trophy winner and NFL quarterback. This is what he says. Listen here. He says, I have so many things to work on and so many ways that I fail. But that's what grace is all about. And I constantly wake up every morning trying to get better, trying to improve, trying to walk closer to God. And this is what Bubba Smith, he's a Masters champion golfer. This is what he said. Golf is just an avenue for Jesus to use me to reach as many people as I can. Amen. I want you to understand, they're being interviewed, like on ESPN and, you know, all the other channels, you know, those, like CBS, ABC. These are the things they're saying. You know, they're not saying this at like a Christian program. They're bold and saying, it's Jesus that did this for me. Look what Jeremy Lin says, an NBA basketball phenom. You know what he did, right, earlier in the year. He says, when other people see me play basketball, the way I treat my teammates, the opponents, the refs, that's all a reflection of God's image and God's love. So that's the stuff I try to focus on.
Wow.
Whew. And it's kind of funny, you know, when the newscaster got the microphone, you know, right at their mouth. And when they say, oh, I give God the glory. Oh, you know, they almost pull back and they go, okay, let's interview someone else here. You ever seen that? I've seen that. And they want They don't want to hear about God at all. I don't know if they're told, say, if anyone says anything about God, you are to, you know, go to someone else. This is what Colin Klein says. He's a Heisman Trophy nominee and a winning quarterback of the Kansas State Wildcats. This is what Colin Klein says. He says, I would say the thing that Tim Tebow and I have most in common is the thing that is most important to us. And that's our faith and our relationship with Christ. And everything flows through that. It's an honor to be mentioned in the same sentence. I'm very grateful to God. And this is what Gabby Douglas says. She's an Olympic gold medal gymnast, right? And she says, I'm so grateful God has truly blessed me. Remember to always give him the glory, for he is great. I give all the glory to God. It's kind of a win-win situation. The glory goes up to him, and the blessing falls down on me. Wow. Are we that bold? As servants of God, can we proclaim his word? And people ask us, oh, how come you're so successful? Can you say it's because of him? I give all the glory to God. Or do you say, oh, because I work hard? No, give the glory to God. And he will continue to let his blessings flow. Because here's the thing. These are men and women who have made a conscious choice to do what they do for the approval of the Lord. Not for the approval of man. Because if you're going to live life seeking approval from man, guess what? That's all you get. You're not going to experience the true joy of being in the presence of God. When you can have a thankful heart, always giving him the glory, knowing you don't need to hear the thank yous. You're a servant without thanks. And you know what? Here's the thing. We are all called to do the same thing, you know, what these world-class athletes have done. Because, you know, you don't have to be a world-class athlete to choose your life to be used as a platform for your witness to Christ. We're all called to tell people about Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Colossians 3, 17, 23 to 24. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever you do, do it heartily as for the Lord rather than for man, knowing that it is from the Lord that you will receive the reward of your inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Do it heartily as for the Lord, not for man. Whatever you do, do it with your whole heart. That's what it's saying. For him. Don't seek the applause of man. No, you don't need that. You just need to please our Father God, who is our Lord, Master, and King. You know, I'm going to tell you about this woman. Her name is Grace Hopper. She is the oldest serving officer in the United States Navy. And she's quoted in saying, a ship in port is safe, but this is not what ships are built for. Because think about this. To hide in the safety of a pew when the Holy Spirit has gifted you with tremendous gifts, is calling you to use your gifts for the kingdom, is as ridiculous as a battleship that is uselessly sitting in the harbor. Just think about this. Battleship costs millions upon millions of dollars. It's state-of-the-art weaponry. And it's just sitting there at the dock doing nothing. I got to tell you, all of us are equipped to do great and mighty works unto him. And we as servants got to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. Because otherwise, we're just going to be docked at that port, just sitting there. No purpose. For no reason at all. Or are you going to say, Lord, I'm your servant? Because once you say, Lord, I'm your servant, you do it with heart. Oh, you're more than a battleship. Oh, you're going to do great and mighty works for the kingdom of God. And the glory of God will come upon your life. Because look at what it says here in the bottom line verses. 1 Corinthians 12:7. It says here, the Holy Spirit works in each person in one way or another. When you say you are a servant of God, the Holy Spirit works in you. It's not you that's going to be doing all this miraculous work. No, it's the Holy Spirit in you. That's what it says. It works in each person in one way or another. So it tells us that We're all servants unto God with different gifts. And we function together as a unity of Christ, one body. And we need each other, don't we? Because we all have different gifts. And God called us to be together here in this church because He knows with different gifts, utilized together. Oh, you know, the demons, I'm sure, are shuddering when we can say, Lord, we're going to serve as servants unto God. And we do it with the right heart. Oh, we're going to do mighty kingdom work. Because God made you a warrior servant. Are you going to allow Him to work in you? That's the question we must ask ourselves. Are we going to allow God to work in our hearts, work in our lives? Look what it says in Romans 12, 6 to 8. It says here, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. And here's the thing, you know, knowing that we have different gifts. God's calling you out. He's saying, go forth and do these mighty works in my name. And with all these gifts, oh man, we're going to reach the masses. We're going to tell people the good news that Jesus Christ is their Savior and that Jesus loves them. But here's the thing, to be truly servants without thanks, you got to have this one thing written on your heart. You know what it is? You guys ever seen this before?
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. When I first saw this, I saw this on someone's back windshield. And I looked at that, I go, hecky. I know how some, you know, logos, you know, they reverse the letter. For the longest time, how come that person has hecky on his windshield? And it's kind of funny because I remember, you know, my son, he put one on his cell phone. His teacher gave him one. And I was looking at that. I said, whoa, you're into hecky too, huh? And then I'm telling you, it's a true story. One day I was driving, right? And it was like, oh, it was like traffic like you wouldn't believe. And I remember I stopped behind his car with this hecky. And then it's like the Lord told me, Ben, it's not hecky. The Lord is hecky. And he said, look again, Ben. Then I saw it. He is greater than I. Oh, Lord. Oh, that's deep. I like that, Lord. Show you how simple-minded I am, right? But then I go, wow, that's true. He must be greater than I. Let me ask you, who do you think He is?
God.
Who is He? Isn't it God?
Yep.
Where is my people? It's God, right? But then the Lord spoke to me. Yeah, it's me. They're talking about me. But also, I want you to understand, if you're a true servant with a heart to serve me, He also means all the people around you. You got to say, everyone around you is greater than you. I go, oh, I see it, Lord. Because the Bible tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is what?
Love
your neighbor, to love others as you love yourself. And God tells me, if you say you truly love me, this He becomes everyone else. Are you willing to love others more than yourself? Because that's what it's all about. Because if you really say you love me, God says, you're going to be willing to love your brother and sister unconditionally. That's like how I loved you. And you know what? This is what it says in John 3:30. Look what it says there. Let's read this verse together. John 3:30. Ready? Go. He must become greater and greater. And I must become less and less. And that's what it's all about. Knowing that God says, you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you must be less. You must decrease as I increase. That's where you're truly going to experience His power and His presence. I got to tell you, we're going to appoint and install two deacons today, and I know their hearts are ready to say, Lord, I want to give you my whole life. I want to serve you with everything I am, everything that I got. I'm going to call up these two brothers to come forward now. Milton Matayoshi, Carl Teets. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know what? I'm so excited for you. You can just stand next to each other here. This is fine. All right. But here stands men of God, Milton Matayoshi and Carl Teets. I know they believe that God had called them to serve as deacons, and I asked them to pray before they said yes or no. And they knew God had put it in their heart to say, I'm going to take this title as a deacon, because it's just a title. But you know what? The Bible tells us we are appointed deacons. You are the leaders. You are the servants of the church. And we know as you serve wholeheartedly unto God, God is going to show His presence. Not only upon your lives, everyone will be touched by His presence as you go and serve Him. And I got to tell you, it's something that I know because you guys serve with passion. Oh, just the short time that you guys have been here. Oh, I'm speaking like Martin Luther King. Praise God!
Oh, give it up.
The presence of God that will come upon both of you and you will serve, oh, mightily in the kingdom of God. And we know with humility, you have committed yourselves to faithful service unto the Lord and to the church. Because this church belongs to Him. We are the church. And we're unified in His Spirit. And these brothers, they seek to adhere to the qualifications set forth in God's Word for these positions according to Acts 6, 1-7 and 1 Timothy 3, 1-13. In so doing, they affirm the following. I'm going to ask you, guys, you're going to say, I agree. I'm going to say individually. I can start with you. You can say, I agree. And then you can say, I agree. Okay, if you agree to this. I know you guys already read it. But if you believe in these statements to be true, all right? Well, number one here, it says, I have personally put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. As an outward symbol of this salvation, I have been scripturally baptized by immersion. If you agree to this, please say, I agree.
I agree.
It says here, I believe the Bible is the inerrant and infallible Word of God. Moreover, I believe such doctrines as the virgin birth, the blood atonement of Jesus, the bodily resurrection of Christ, His literal second coming, and the reality of both heaven and hell to be true. His Word is my guide and my authority. If you agree to this, please say, I agree.
I agree.
All right. It says, I believe salvation and eternal life come only by grace through faith in Christ, as there is no other way to heaven. If you agree to this, please say, I agree. I will seek to be consistently involved in the services and ministries of my church and to model servant leadership in not only my role as a deacon, but in every area of ministry within the church to which God leads me. In addition to serving as deacon, I will seek to have at least one other area of ministry in my church. If you agree to this, please say, I agree. I will seek to develop the character quality of being a cheerful giver, recognizing that God uses His people for the advancement of this of His kingdom. If you agree to this, please say, I agree. I will seek to work with the pastor God leads to shepherd our church and to cooperate in the spirit of humility to carry out the great commission of our Lord. If you agree to this, please say, I agree. I will seek to be a witness for Jesus Christ and desire to grow in the area of sharing His plan of salvation to anyone as the Holy Spirit leads. If you agree to this, please say, I agree. All right. I will strive to be the faithful husband, father, and spiritual leader God has called me to be. In humility, I will be a servant leader in my home, guiding my wife and children to support God's work in our church. If you agree to this, please say, I agree. I will seek to grow in my walk with God and to develop the regular habit of prayer, Bible study, and devotions. If you agree to this, please say, I agree. Okay. And the last one here. It says, in recognition that certain behaviors can be a stumbling block to unbelievers as well as young believers, if asked by my fellow deacons or my pastor, I will be willing to refrain from the use of alcohol, tobacco, or any questionable practice that might hinder my witness and testimony for the Lord. I commit further to resign the office of deacon if my fellow deacons and pastor deem my conduct inappropriate or if my circumstances render me ineffective for service. If you agree to this, please say, I agree.
I agree. I agree.
All right. Praise God. Let's give him a clap. Praise God. I'm going to ask the elders to come forth now. Elders, come forth. Elders and deacons. I'm going to ask Elder Lawrence to pray for them, knowing that they are the leaders that God has chosen to serve in our church. Go ahead, pray.
Father God, it's such a blessing, Lord, that you send these two men to us, Father God. We know that it's all you, Lord, that you put the heart in them, Lord, to serve you, Father God. So, Father God, I pray that, Lord, you will continue to shine your light on them, Lord. And when people see them, Lord, they will see you. They will see Jesus in them. Father God, I just pray that you will give them an extra dose of protection, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
No enemy will be able to come close to them, Lord. Let them be the light to shine in the darkness, Lord. Let them be the light, Lord. Let you shine through them.
Hallelujah.
People that are in darkness. They will light up their light, Father God. Bring light to them. Father God, I pray that, Lord, you will continue to shower your blessing upon them, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Give them bonus to do your mighty work, Lord. Let every work that they do, Lord, be fruitful, doing in your name.
Yes.
Father God, we just thank you. Thank you for these two men. Praise you, Lord. Love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give him a clap. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right.
No turning back.
No, what a time for celebration knowing these two men have made a decision for God. And they're going to serve God wholeheartedly.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Open Door Christian Ministries. Well, I want you to know, you know, that's why I preach on the very fact that we are to be servants without thanks. And every time we install new deacons or new elders, I always talk about servanthood because that's what it is, elder or deacon. But you don't have to have this title. The very fact is, you know, if you say, Lord, I want to serve you, you're a servant unto
yes,
God.
Yes.
But, you know, to have this title because the Bible says we are to appoint these leaders as God calls them, you know, this is what we are to do. But you know what? We go and serve God with our whole hearts. That's what God looks at when you serve. It's your heart. Because if you have the heart that is truly joyful, it's going to show on your face. It's going to show in your attitude. And that's where God can truly bless your life. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go ahead and bow our hearts before God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this message that was spoken. I thank you, Lord, for these two men who are willing to sacrifice their lives to give of their best service unto the King. And I praise you, God, for I know you're going to do great and mighty works through them. And Father God, with the message that we heard today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will write it in our hearts. Are we truly the kind of servants that you called us to be? If not, Lord, help us, correct us, give us instruction how to be a true servant unto the King. And after listening to today's message, you're saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I realize now that there are times I can be a Christian diva. I can complain. I said, if it's not done this way, I'm not going to serve. Well, you know, that's not a true heart of a servant. A true heart of a servant says, no matter what the condition, no matter what, I'm going to show up. I'm going to give glory to God. I'm going to praise Him. And we know that's the kind of heart that you want us to have, the heart of zeal, the heart of passion to serve you. And if you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you know that you want this heart of that servant that God wants us to be, know that God's going to help you. God's going to give you strength. God's going to give you the right attitude as you say, Lord, I'm living my whole life fully unto you. And if that's your heart, and you say, Pastor, I need prayer, can you simply raise your hand and say, that's me, so that I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Oh, let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for all the hands that were raised. More importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to go out there and serve you with my whole life. With everything I am, everything I have, I'm willing to serve the Lord God and King. I just pray, Lord, as you let your Holy Spirit fall upon them, I pray, Father God, they're going to be charged up. They're going to experience your power and your presence, knowing it's not them that will go forth. It's your Holy Spirit in them that will go forth to touch the people who are lost, who are hurting, that we're going to make that difference. We're going to tell them the good news that they have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for what you started in them, what you will continue to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I heard about people saying you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, with Father God. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you know what? You pray a simple prayer. I'm going to pray this prayer in just a few seconds here. But if you really mean this from your heart, I got to tell you, God is listening, and He looks at your heart. Because if you're not truly, sincerely expressing this, He can't hear you. Because remember, it has to come from the heart. So if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Make a choice for Him because He wants to bless you. He wants to pour out His blessings upon your life. If you're wanting to say yes to Jesus today, can you simply raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to receive Him as my Savior. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? Okay, you put your hands down. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray together as a family of believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's say this prayer. Repeat after me. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I need you.
I need you.
I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son Jesus Christ.
Who
died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. And make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God, and so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him, and I live for Him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's all stand. Let's give glory.